Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You saw what I did unto the Egyptians. You saw how I bore you on eagle's wings. And you saw how I brought you unto myself." Who is the Lord speaking to here? I say, who is the Lord speaking to here? Yeah, Israelites, but he's speaking to one person here. Who is he speaking to here? Moses. Come on now, Moses. That's the one we preached about last Sunday, right? Moses. The one who was raised on that supernatural diet of purples. Moses. Moses is a great picture of our lives and our journey. And even though the Lord is sending a message to the children of Israel, he is actually sending that message through Moses today. Isn't that amazing that all the things that Moses longed for in the earlier seasons of his life, all the things that he yearned after, all the things that he was seeking, all of those things the Lord actually brought together after he hooked up with the plan of God. All of those things. He tried to do those things by his own hands. You remember? He went out and he was trying to deliver his own brothers one by one. He saw one maltreating the other. He went and talked to him. He said, "Why are you? Don't you know you are brothers?" He wanted them to recognize something that he had already recognized, that was the assignment of God, the purpose of God that was already placed upon him. But like we read last week, they did not understand. But when the Lord pulled it all together, after Moses connected with the divine plan of God, yes, even though he had that beginning, even though the Lord arranged and put things in place, the midwives were there to serve the purposes of God. Thank God for Amram and Yochebed. They were there. They did their part. Amen. Thank God for Miriam, who stood there by the side of the river when Pharaoh's daughter came to have. Thank God all these people played their part. Thank God Moses was eventually raised by his parents, his own biological parents, and they fed him constantly with that diet of purpose and prepared him. But I hope you know that until Moses himself made the decision to connect with the plan of God, until Moses himself had his own personal encounter with God himself, with the one we were singing about this morning, the one who's called Yahweh, until Moses himself had his own personal one-on-one encounter with Yahweh, he couldn't go on that flight of destiny. He couldn't go on that flight of destiny. It was a struggle. He'll try and he'll sleep. He'll try and he'll sleep. He'll stand and he'll fall. He'll stand. The best he could achieve was mediocre compared to the plan of God. Until he went on that flight of destiny. The best that Moses could attain unto outside of that flight of destiny at best was mediocre compared to the plan of God for him. At best. Somebody say at best. Finally, he had to run away from Egypt, as you know. When he found out that the Pharaoh already found out what he did to the Egyptian, he ran away from Egypt and found himself in a place called Midian. All of this while, God is still staring him. He's away from home now. Mom and dad already taught him everything they thought he needed to know as far as preparing him for the covenant. He already stepped out by himself, trying to begin to work it out. He already got the best education possible in the land, in Pharaoh's house. And when he ran away from Egypt, he found himself in a place called Midian. And we know he could have found himself in a place called Bathsheba. He could have found himself in a place called Beersheba. He could have found himself in a place called, he could have been anywhere else, but he went towards Midian. So all the while, the Lord was stirring him. Because of the hands of God upon our lives, the things that have happened in our lives as we continue to seek him, as we continue to search for him, those things are not mistakes. God continues to stir us. And I know sometimes we look back and we think, oh, I don't know why I went through that path. And I don't know, I know this past week we read about unpopular paths to destiny, talking about Jacob who found himself in his uncle's house, Laban, who maltreated him. Yeah, and sometimes the Lord takes us through unpopular paths to take us to destiny. So all of those steps that we take, the different routes that we go in. And some of those routes and some of those experiences sometimes in our minds actually do feel like maybe that was a misstep. And it could have been. It could have been from a natural standpoint. But because we are children of destiny, because we are people of purpose, God was all the while staring us. Even through our missteps, he was staring us. Even through our trip-ups, he was staring us. Hallelujah. And finally, he arrived at Midian and met the daughters of Midian, helped them, and they took him home. And finally, married one of Jethro's daughters. And for 40 years, another 40 years, he was there just taking care of Jethro's sheep. Until. Somebody say until. There is that moment of encounter in every life that changes everything. There is that moment of encounter in every life that changes everything. That is the moment when we come alive to the life of God. That is the moment when we embrace the Lord God himself. That is the moment when we totally turn it over to him. That is the moment when we say, okay, Lord, I'm done with me. I'm done with my ways. I'm done with my plans. I'm going to give you the key of my life. I'm going to give you front and center place of my life. And that is the moment that changes everything. I really love this other scripture that we have read about the eagle and how the eagle walks to prepare, to train, and then to unleash his glory upon the baby eagle. He picks them. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says in verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them and bears them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth so that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. That's the best life. The best life possible. The best life possible. When he found him in a waste howling desert or wilderness, that man did not know what he was doing. He was just wandering around trying to find traction in life. You know, all we do when we haven't gotten on this flight of destiny, all we do is we're just wandering, trying to find traction in life. We go here, we go there, we try this, we try that. But when we get on this flight with the Lord, suddenly, we get on this season of our lives where the Lord himself takes control. Look at what he says. The eagle stares up her nest. The eagle flutters over her young. Do you know what it means to stare up a nest? It means to make you uncomfortable. It means to shake up your comfort zone. The moment when the eagle, that baby eagle, turns it over to the mother eagle and gives that mother eagle full and total control of their life, that's the moment that changes everything. Stares up our nest. Remember, the nest is the resting place of the baby eagle. For how many years that baby eagle has just been resting in that nest and just allowing the mother to do everything. Just resting in the nest. And then suddenly, the mother eagle comes and begins to stir up the nest and create discomfort and create dissatisfaction and create a longing, a yearning for something that baby eagle doesn't have. Now, after she stirs up her nest, the Bible says she flutters over that young. Flutters. It's almost like an initiation process. Trying to help that young realize there's something within you. I know all of these years you've seen me do all the work. You see me go away from the nest. I come back and I bring all the food you need, all the nourishment, all the provision, all the supplies. And you are just cool and calm in this nest. But I want you to know that everything I have is invested within you. This is your moment of initiation. This is your moment of initiation. You know, when the Bible says in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, darkness filled the surface of the earth, and the Holy Spirit, he just rested and just dwelt and fluttered. The potential to create a beautiful world out of this dark and ugly earth was already there. And as the Holy Spirit flutters and hovers over it, an initiation process begins. And when the Lord spoke the word, miracle, creation began. The Bible says, this mother eagle flutters over the young. And It's almost like an initiation process. You have what it takes to fly. You have what it takes to rise up. You have what it takes to go over the hills of the earth. You have what it takes to get honey out of the rock. You have what it takes. It's almost like an initiation process. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. The Lord is saying to you this morning, whoever you are, wherever you're hearing me, you have what it takes to be a champion. You have what it takes to be a more than a conqueror. You have what it takes to be a winner in life. You have what it takes to accomplish the plans and the purposes and the destiny of God for your life. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. Or if we can just get this baby eagle to believe that she has, that he has what it takes. She flutters. She flutters and initiates her into this level of manifestation of potential. You know, what's the use of all the consecration if we won't rise up and go for it? What's the use of all the preparation? All the preparation if we won't rise up and go for it. God's ultimate plan is to bring us to places of manifestation on our journey. Places that have been marked out for us. On each one of our journeys, there are landmarks that have been ordained by God. There are landmarks that have been prepared by God. And the way he launches us into these landmarks, the way he gets us there, is by making sure that we realize the potential that he has placed within us and that we are willing to take off. We are willing to take off. Now, she stares the nest. She flutters over her young. She spreads abroad her wings. She spreads abroad our wings. This is the moment when the baby eagle has to make the decision to get on board. This is the moment when that baby eagle has to make the decision. All right, I hear you, Mama. I hear what you said. You said I had the potential. You initiated me, imparted to me your life. All right. I'm going to get on board. I want you to know, if this baby eagle does not get on board, even though he has the potential, even though he has been initiated, even though he has been prepared, if this baby eagle does not make the decision to get on board, there's no flight. There's no flight. Notice the one thing you will not see here is this, the Bible does not say the mother eagle picks up the baby eagle and puts him on her back. It doesn't say that. That is the one thing you will not see in this scripture. The mother eagle stares the nest. The mother eagle flutters over her young. The mother eagle spreads abroad her wings. And then when the baby eagle gets on board, the mother eagle takes the eagle on a flight. There is that moment when the baby eagle realizes everything that has been prepared, everything that has been said, everything that has been ordained, and then gets up on the wings of the mother eagle and says, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And then he says, bore them on her wings. And then he says, the Lord alone did lead them. So he has the direction. He knows where we need to go. He says, there was no strange God with him. So that means every other voice, every other distraction, every other thing that can be a point of influence to derail us on this journey, we recognize and we shut down. No strange God with him. How many of you know, sometimes the strange gods that are with the people of God are actually within the vessels of the people of God. Sometimes the strange gods that compete for the wisdom and the direction of God. Sometimes the strange gods that muddy up the waters, that muddy up everything so that we can't get clarity. Sometimes those strange gods are actually within the vessels of the people of God. It says, but when we determine that there will be no strange gods, when we determine that there will be no competition with this Yahweh, he said, then he alone did lead them. And then he made them ride on the high places of the earth so that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock, oil out of the flinty rock. The best life, the best destiny, the best wine. I love it. The best decision any believer can make in life is the decision to make Jesus front and center of everything. The best decision any believer can make in life is the decision to make Jesus front and center of everything. This is not just theoretical. You know, sometimes as believers, we are some of the most religious people on the planet. I mean, we know the word. We know what is expected. We know what the Lord has directed us to do. But sometimes we just find it difficult to move out of the way so that Jesus can be the front and the center. Sometimes there is that thing within us, and it's almost a default setting for every human being, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. There is that thing within us that seeks to constantly move us off of having God as the center and wanting to place ourselves in the center. The best decision any believer can make in life is to make Jesus front and center of everything you do. You know, making Jesus front and center is not a decision we should make when we finally realize that we can't make it on our own. Making Jesus front and center isn't a decision we should make when we hit the turbulence of life on the flight of destiny. Because on this flight of destiny, we do know honey out of the rock is guaranteed. Oil out of the flinty rock is guaranteed. But something else is guaranteed. Turbulence is. There is no flight that takes you on an elevation to a place where you have never experienced, you've never been, where there is no turbulence. There will be turbulence. The reason that mother eagle took all that time to walk and prepare the baby eagle is so that when turbulence hits, that baby eagle knows what to do. The best decision any believer can make is to make Jesus front and center of everything you do. As you go on into 2021, don't wait. Don't wait until the turbulence hits. As we all get ready, beginning with our Daniel fast, beginning with all of these different things that we have been doing and that we'll continue to do, preparing ourselves, allowing God to prepare us. Don't wait. Don't just make it a theoretical or a presumptuous activity. Don't just make it something where, yeah, I know we're supposed to do that. No, make sure. Do you know how many times we go so far and we suddenly realize, oh my gosh, Jesus is in the center of this thing. We've gone so far. And we suddenly realize, oh my goodness, Jesus is in the center of this thing. Don't wait until you run out of wine. The best decision you can make in life is to make Jesus front and center of everything you do. I'm going to take a little detour and go and read from John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 2. In our 2021 confession, it says, this is my year of divine lifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God has lifted me up out of the miry clay and he has placed me on the hilltops of destiny. He feeds me with honey out of the rock. He does that. He does that. He says, this is my breakout year, and I have been set up for unprecedented success. How did that happen? Through all of the activities of the eagle, the mother eagle. You know, sometimes... thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, God can prepare you for 10 years, and in 10 months, he can break you out. God can prepare you for 10 years, and in a matter of 10 months, after 10 years of preparation, he can break you out. Many people will think, they will ask, oh, what did he do? And what they'll do is, they'll be looking at what he did in the 10 months leading up to the breakout. But actually, God, for 10 straight years, without anyone being aware of it, was preparing you. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many of God's people who've been making all these confessions and bold statements for so many years. God is going to do this through me. God is going to do this through me. God is going to do this through me. And at the end of each of those years, they turn around and they wonder, all those things I said, you know, didn't really come to pass. And a lot of times, what the Lord is doing is preparing us, like that mother eagle. What the Lord is doing is preparing us. I don't know if you know this. It took 80 years to get Moses to the point where he could make Jesus, he could make Yahweh front and center of everything. 80 years. 80 years of preparation. 80 years of going through this and going through that and going through this and going through that and going through this and going through that and trying this and trying that and doing this and doing that. And suddenly one day when they crossed the Red Sea, after they crossed the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 14, at the very end of that chapter, the Bible says suddenly the people of Israel, suddenly, they realized, wow, Yahweh is who he says he is. Yahweh is all powerful. At the very end of that scripture, in Exodus 14, suddenly they turn around and they say, wow, Yahweh is who he said he was. But not only that, they turn around and they say, wow, there's something different about Moses. Now, this is something he had been trying to accomplish for how many years? Trying to say to them, I am this, I am that. God sent me. We are doing this, we are doing that. And they never got there. And suddenly, their eyes opened to it. Look at that verse of scripture. It's a fascinating one. Is it Exodus 14? Yeah. Verse 31. Exodus 14. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Suddenly, they came to the realization Yahweh is who he says he is. And they came to the realization Moses is a different man. After 80 years. But what was the Lord doing that eventually led to that point? He was preparing Moses. He was preparing Moses. He was preparing Moses. Many believers believe times of preparations are wasted seasons because they don't really see fruits. Sometimes we become like the world. We measure everything in things that can be seen. We become like the world. We talk about what are the indices of success. We want measurable accomplishments. We want to talk about the things that can be measured. The things that tell me what are the things that have been measured. And tell me the quantity, like how much is in the bank account and what is the net worth? And what are the dividends of the investments made? Thank you. Key performance indices. We want to measure things in things that can be seen. Things that can be seen with the natural eyes. And a lot of times, believers don't realize God is more into your preparation than he is into your performance. God is more interested in your preparation than he is in your performance. I mean, just let's just agree on this at this point. There is nothing you and I can achieve on this earth that can wow God. There is nothing you and I can achieve on this earth that can amaze God. He himself is the amazing God. You can't impress him with anything. And his dream and his desire is to bring us to a place where we can share in his amazement. We can share in his glory. God, let's read this out directly from here. God is taking us on a flight of destiny, and our destination is glory. God is taking us on a flight of destiny, and our destination is glory. Glory, glory. God is more invested in the preparations. God is more invested in your preparation than he is in your performance. He's taking you on a flight of destiny, and your destination is glory. Glory. That breakout season. That breakout year. This is that breakout year for many of God's people. This is that breakout season for many of God's people who have attended to his preparation, who have listened when the mother eagle was fluttering, who yielded and responded. When the mother eagle was hovering, who responded? When the mother eagle spreaded out her wings, who got on the wings and said, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready, let's go." When the mother eagle challenged the hidden idols in their lives, who said, "Okay, Lord, I'll give it up." This is that breakout year for you. This is that breakout year for you. Because you have been set up for unprecedented success. Unprecedented success. The eagle herself is going to carry you on a flight of destiny, and your destination is glory. This is going to be the culmination of all of those preparations that the Lord has exposed you to. All of those preparations that the Lord has exposed you to. His destination for you is glory. His line says there, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. No matter what the world says, Jesus will have the final say. My Lord, save the best for the last. I shall not go out empty. He's saving the best for the last. You know why the best is in the last? Because that's preparation is in the beginning, the glory is at the end. Preparation is in the beginning, the glory is at the end. So you and I need to be in awe of God and his work in our lives. We don't need to be allowing ourselves to be distracted by the world. We don't need to be allowing ourselves to be distracted by what people are saying. All of these key performance indices that people are talking about, we don't need to be getting into all of that story, all of that jargon. We need to be focused on the glory at the end. The destination is glory. The destination is glory. He's saving the best for the last. The Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. The glory of the latter house will far surpass the beginning, the former. The Lord is going to bring you to a place of glory that will far surpass anything you have ever experienced. His destination is glory. His destination is glory. You will suddenly find out that all of those things you had to overcome, all of those things you had to walk through, you had to fight through, you had to struggle through, you will suddenly find out God was using them as ingredients to prepare you for glory. You will suddenly find out that it wasn't those things that mattered to God as much as the latter end that he was preparing you for. this is my breakout year, and I have been set up for unprecedented success. I think it was in the Webster's I saw one of the examples they were giving, you know, how sometimes Webster's define something, then gives you examples. And I think in one of these particular examples, it says the company had a breakout year. I think their profit margin was 30% or something, one of those ridiculous margins beyond anything they had ever experienced into the most previous year. This is your breakout year. This is your breakout year. God has been preparing you for 10 years, and in 10 months, he's going to expose you to unprecedented success. In 10 months, he will expose you to unprecedented success. This is my breakout year, and I have been set up for unprecedented success. All of those journeys in all of these years, he was working to bring me, to bring you to this point where he breaks you out. Where he breaks you out. That was the whole idea. The eagle has been working. The eagle has been working. Preparing that eagle, that eaglet, to bring them to a place where suddenly they can spread their own wings and they can fly. They can spread their own wings and they can fly. This is, he says, my season of new beginnings and new wine. Part of what is really amazing about this, he saves the best for the last, but then he makes that the beginning. He saves the best for the last, but then he makes that the beginning. So, at the end of the wedding in Cana, after the Lord told them, fill the water pots with water, they did. And he said, go give the chairman of the wedding feast a cup. The chairman tasted the wine and said, wow, this wine is better than anyone that we have ever had before. He says, everybody serves their best one at the beginning, but you save the best for the last. And then the Bible says, this beginning of miracles, it was the best wine at the end of the wedding, but he made it a new beginning. He will bring you to a place of unprecedented success, and that unprecedented success will create a new beginning for you. Suddenly, your past will become almost irrelevant to where you are. Suddenly, the journey of the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you would be trying to remind yourself of some of the agonies, some of the turbulence, some of the difficulties, because where the Lord will bring you to, it will be so new, it will be so good, it will be so awesome that you will not remember the pain of your past. This is your breakout year, and you have been set up for unprecedented success. He saved the best for the last. You will not go out empty. You will not go out empty. You will not go out empty. This is your season of new beginnings. All the tears, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the struggle, all the agony of the last several years, he's going to wrap it all up and put it in your past and give you a brand new beginning, and you will hardly remember where you came from. You will hardly remember where he brought you out from. You will hardly remember the struggles of your past. The best wine, he says, the best life, the best miracles, the best destiny. A place of unprecedented. Unprecedented. Yeah. Unprecedented. Unprecedented. That sounds like I've never been there before. That sounds like I have never experienced it before. That sounds like I've never been down that road before. Unprecedented. 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 I want to close out this morning by shining God's light very strongly on your season of preparation. I want to put God's light very strongly in my last few minutes here on your season of preparation. I'm going to ask you to go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's read a few verses there. We can't read them all, but let's read a few verses there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is your season of unprecedented success. This is your season of new wine. This is your season of new beginnings. This is your season of manifested glory. That's what he said. That's what that's what the governor of that wedding said in John chapter 2. He said in verse 10, every man at the beginning sets forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine, meaning the best wine, until now. And then the Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. He manifested forth his glory. You are coming to a season of manifestation, my friends. You are coming to a season of the glory of God being manifested over your lives, my friend. And the Bible says his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him. I'm so thankful. This couple that was wedding here didn't look for Jesus after their wine ran out. He was already a guest in the wedding. He was already right there. Before the wine ran out, he was already there. He was sitting right there. And when the wine ran out, his mother went to him and said, don't worry. Disciples, just fill the water pots with water. He was already in the feast. He was already in the feast. The Lord wants me to emphasize this to you. Would you make Jesus front and center of everything you do? He wants me to emphasize this to you. It's very easy to think Jesus will work miracles in the temple. It's naturally expected that Jesus will heal the sick in a healing meeting where people are actually gathered together for prayers. The Lord wants me to emphasize this to you. It's very easy to expect that the Lord will work wonders in certain arenas, in certain places that have been designated spiritual. We expect the Lord to show up in church. He blesses when we pray. He moves when we are reading the word. These are spiritual activities. The Lord wants me to emphasize this to you. as unspiritual as that wedding was, Jesus had front and center position there. That gave him the opportunity to manifest his glory. Be careful the areas of life that you have cordoned off. You know how they cordon off certain things and says, you know, they say, you know, like they'll put a little tape, you know, you can't go there. Be careful how certain areas of our lives we just naturally assume, oh, those are not territories where Jesus walks. Oh, a wedding is not a church service. These are not the spiritual areas where God walks. Be careful to make Jesus front and center of your life. You may have to do a reassessment of the different things you do. We know, everybody certainly knows, Jesus ought to be front and center in some areas of our lives, many areas of our lives, especially the spiritual ones. But he doesn't just want to be front and center in those spiritual areas of our lives. He wants to be front and center even in the unspiritual areas of our lives. Let's close out and say a few things here about Moses in Exodus chapter 3. I know I have very little time, but I'm going to try to use it the best I can. In chapter 3 and verse 1, we know Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. In verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. God was trying to get his attention. In verse 3, Moses said, I will turn aside. He made that decision. God didn't make him turn aside. He decided, I will turn aside. After God got his attention, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside in verse 4, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And that's all he could hear. The Lord knew all he would be able to hear in this moment would be Moses. He would know for sure that God is trying to get his attention. But he can't hear more. At this point, he can't hear any more. He said, Lord, here I am. The Lord said in verse 5, don't come any closer. I need you to take your shoes off of your feet. I need you to take your shoes off of your feet. He said, because where you are standing is holy ground. That is, I have prepared everything leading you to this moment when I'm going to take you on this flight. This is your moment. This is the moment that I have been looking for an opportunity to birth in your life. This is your moment. I worked for 80 years of your life to bring you to this moment, Moses. But in order for us to move to the next things that I have, I need you to take off your shoes. I need you to take off your shoes. I got better shoes for you, Moses. these shoes will not allow you to fly. They're not bad shoes. They are your shepherd shoes. But they will not allow you to fly. I need you to give me these shoes, Moses. This is what all of God's preparation is in our lives. Give me these shoes, Moses. Take these shoes off. These shoes have served you well. They've helped you be a good shepherd. But right now, we've come to the moment that I have prepared you for 80 years of your life. I need you to take your shoes off. Can you take your shoes off? Child of God, I'm talking to you today as I close this out. Remember, taking those shoes off became the open door to everything else that had been prepared. Taking those shoes off became the open door. You know this. You are students of the Word of God. We sang Yahweh this morning. You know, until you took those shoes off, Yahweh didn't say, I'm Yahweh. He didn't say, I am Yahweh. You know, until he took those shoes off, the Lord didn't fix his talk, his stammer. You know that. You know, until he took those shoes off, the Lord didn't say to him, what is that in your hand? It's a rod. Throw it in the ground. It's a rod. God said, it's not just a rod. It's not a rod of Moses. It's a rod of God. With this rod, I will make you a God to Pharaoh. Remember, all of the supernatural heights and all of the glory and all of the greatness that the Lord manifested. As a matter of fact, you do know, at the very end of this particular chapter, after the Lord has told him, he's given him his marching orders. This is what you are going to do. You are going to go and tell the children of Israel this. You are going to tell the elders this. And I want you to know, I'm going to deliver them by your hands. And then when he got to the end of it, he says that I'm going to stretch out my hands over the land of Egypt. I'm going to do wonders in that land. He says, and it will come to pass, I will take my people out of this land, and when they go out, they will not go out empty. That's where he told him that in verse 21. I'm going to see to it they live out with silver and gold. They're going to live out with glory. They're going to live out with grace. They're going to live out with blessings. But Moses, the open door into what I have prepared, I need you to take your shoes off. Can I challenge you as I close this out today to take your shoes off? I know they're your own shoes. I know you bought them with your own money. I know they're familiar to you. You are used to them. They have served you for so long. But do you realize where God wants to take us? These shoes can't go. That's the essence of God's preparation. If we come out of a season of preparation and we still have these shoes on, this has been a wasted Daniel fast for us. If we come out of this season of preparation and all of these different things that we've gone through, and we come out of it and it's still our shoes that we have on, then we can't go. The mother eagle can say it all she wants. She can spread out those wings all she wants. She can flutter all she wants. She can stir up the nest all she wants. But if what we still have on are our shoes, we can go. Can I challenge you to take those shoes off? Pastor, what are those shoes? You know. You know. And God knows. when he points to those shoes, you know. You don't need me to tell you about your shoes. You know they're your shoes. You bought them with your money. They've served you for quite a while. You become very familiar with them. But they'll stop you from glory. Remember, our destination. God wants to take us on a flight of destiny, and our destination is glory. These shoes won't let you go. You don't need me or any preacher. I don't need you or any preacher to tell me about my shoes. They're mine. I know them quite well. Would you take off those shoes today? Would you expose your feet to the Lord? Would you let him see your feet? Would you take off the covering that protects the dirtiest, the most vulnerable parts of your life? And would you let the Lord see them so he can wash them and take you to glory? And I know how deeply challenging that will be, because they are our shoes. They are our shoes. A lot of them even look beautiful. But they hide dirt. They shield ugliness. Would you let the Lord have those shoes? Let's close this out. Everyone here, would you stand with me today? And wherever you are at home, if you are still there, let's have a moment with the Lord. Let's have a moment with the Lord. Lord, I don't want to hold on to these shoes, but I'm so familiar with them. They help me shield the ugliness. They don't erase the ugliness. They just help shield them so nobody sees them. Lord, in my heart of hearts, I really want to go on this flight of glory. I'm willing to give everything to go on this flight of glory.